Our epistle reading is found in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
I want to thank David and Gary and Sharon for assisting me as I lead in worship this morning. The gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, and I'll begin reading this morning with verse 13. Luke 24, verses 13 through verses 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and could not find his body. And they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going on further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord for us this day. I like to travel. A part of traveling is getting to see new places and to see new sights. As much as I like seeing new sights, a trip for me is not a lot of enjoyment without some companions for the journey. Because I enjoy people most of all. When I travel, I like someone with me and I like to go see someone. Seeing things is not as important as seeing people. It's wonderful to have a companion with me when I travel. Whether I'm walking or in a car or on the plane, I want someone with me. Usually, if I have to go by myself, I'll find someone to talk to, the person sitting beside me. If I'm going somewhere in a car, I'm liable to pick up the first hitchhiker that I can find. I like someone to be with. This morning, our gospel text is about a journey. And we'll take a few minutes and walk along with these two disciples and share their journey with them. The trip actually began in Emmaus. Cleopas and his companion had traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover. Perhaps they had been there at the first of the week. Perhaps they had observed the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Perhaps they were there when he cleansed the temple. Maybe they heard some of his teaching there in the temple. I suspect that they were there when he was crucified. And as he died on the cross, their hopes and dreams and aspirations for him as Messiah died with him. They spent the Sabbath there in Jerusalem. And when Sunday came, it was time for them to begin their trip back home. As they traveled back toward Emmaus, they were joined by a fellow traveler on the road. And as they walked along, they shared their stories, talked about the events of the past, and tried to make sense out of them. And as they walked and as they talked, Jesus shared their journey with them. And he helped them make sense of the events that had happened. When they got to their home, Jesus appeared to be going on further. He didn't barge in. He waited for them to invite him. And they invited him into their home. And as they sat at the table, Jesus took the bread, and reminiscent of the Passover scene, he blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. And as he did that, their eyes were opened, and they understood who he was. And as soon as they understood who he was, he vanished out of their midst. They found a renewed energy that they had not known before. And hurrying back to Jerusalem, they shared the good news with the other disciples. This passage speaks pretty clearly to me about my own pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. John Bunyan's classic, Pilgrim's Progress, is a wonderful story of Christian's journey toward the celestial city. As he goes along the way, he meets a number of other people who are on the journey with him. I think that both life and faith can be seen as a journey. It's important to have companions on a journey, someone to go along with you. At different times in our lives, we have different companions. Some folks are a part of our lives for years. Some people come into our lives for a short period of time. We walk along the way, and our paths go different ways. And so they are no longer with us on that particular journey. I think that it's particularly important for ministers to be able to have companions, to have a strong support system. Our ability to handle stress and to cope with the difficulties of ministry is closely linked to our ability to build and use support systems, to rely on our family, our friends, our home church, our colleagues, people who believe in us, who support us, and who care about us. Sometimes, as we travel and walk along the road, we experience the presence of the Lord. It's hard to predict when the presence of the Lord will be felt or seen or experienced. A part of my theology, my formal theology, is that God is always with us. A part of my functional theology, the way that I operate, is that sometimes I don't feel or experience God's presence. A companion can be very helpful in pointing out and sharing the experience and presence of the Lord as we go along. The disciples shared their stories. They talked about what had happened in the past. They tried to make sense out of that. And as they talked through what had happened, the presence of the Lord was with them, and it made sense, and they began to understand more. They were able to share a meal together. It's important for companions to share meals. There's something about the table and sharing a meal with someone that is important. They shared communion together. As Jesus broke the bread, it was very reminiscent of that Last Supper and the Passover there. Communion takes place in a lot of places. We celebrate the Lord's death, his burial, and the resurrection in a lot of different atmospheres other than just in church on the first Sunday of the quarter. We're able to experience God's presence when we're together with fellow travelers, as we make sense out of life, and as God's presence is alive and real with us. There's something about being on that journey and experiencing God's presence with a fellow companion that gives you renewed strength and power and the ability to persevere and continue on. I think that it's important to choose your companions carefully. Not everyone who is on the road will make a good companion for you, will be a good person with whom to share your story and to make sense out of life. I want to take just a minute to tell you about the kind of companions that I like. I like companions who will tell stories. It's important for me to know other persons and to be known by other people. And there's something about hearing a person's story and knowing their past that helps you to know them. I like a companion who's willing to tell me their story. I also like companions who are willing to listen. I want at least my fair share of the airtime. I want to talk about my past and the events that have been important to me and those persons that have shaped me and made me who I am. And I like someone who can help me make sense out of that story, to point out to me the hand of God in the past and to help me understand what was going on with me. I like a companion who wants to learn. Folks who've already arrived don't make good companions on the journey. But people who are open to learning and to experiencing God's presence and find out more about themselves and about life make good companions. I like companions who help me be aware of God's presence. Recently, I was in Milwaukee for an institute on supervision, and I was walking with a newfound friend along the bank of along the shore of Lake Michigan. And as we were walking along, we came to a place where there was an old campfire, and there was a log there, and we sat down on the log, and for just a moment, it was like we were in Galilee, and there was a fire burning, and there was some fish cooking over that fire, and it was as if the Lord was there with us, and we experienced God's presence, and we worshiped, and we were renewed and strengthened for the journey. I like companions who are willing to risk. There are some folks for whom it's so important to play it safe and be secure that they're not very fun companions along the way. It takes folks who are willing to be vulnerable, to share who they are, to risk telling what they think and what they feel in order to be good companions on the journey. And I like companions who are happy to be on the trip. Some people don't want to travel. They want to stay at home. They're happy where they are. They don't want to move. They don't want to be in process. They want to set some deep roots where they are. I think it was very fortunate and providential in the Old Testament that the children of Israel, for a significant part of their early existence, lived in tents. And they experienced God's presence in a tabernacle that moved with them. And wherever they went, God's presence was there. And they, as the reading from the book of Hebrews says, they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Well, this morning I've talked about the disciples' story, and I've talked about my story. Perhaps as I have done that, you've reflected on your story and those important companions that you have traveled with. It may have been your parents, or a brother or sister, a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a spouse, a child, a neighbor. Today's a day to give thanks for the folks that have traveled with us in the past. Perhaps you're aware this morning about of how alone you are on the road. Seminary can be a lonely place, separated from family and from friends. It's not difficult to be lonely. But a seminary can also be a great place to meet fellow strugglers who are on a journey. Most of us are here because we are in process. We haven't arrived. We're still on the journey. I hope that you will reflect on the qualities that you need in a companion, and you will look around and find someone to walk with you for a while. Would you stand with me for our benediction? As you leave, may the presence of God go with you. As you walk along, as you talk, as you share your story, as you make sense out of life, as you share meals, as you experience God's presence, as you share communion, as you find renewed strength for the journey, may you know the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.